This is the Assorted Digital Ramblings Podcast, brought to you by Click Through Marketing.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Assorted Digital Ramblings Podcast, a monthly hour-long special about the ever-evolving world of digital marketing. Usually, we use the great minds of our staff at Click Through Marketing to discuss what's going on in marketing, utilising relevant news, topics, and providing expert opinion. But this time we've gone for something slightly different. This time our guidelines weren't written by a human, Regan, and we don't have a guest. This time we've jumped on the AI bandwagon and we've let ChatGPT decide what we're talking about. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm joined by Liv, as usual. How are you, Liv?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. What have you been up to?
Good. Not a fat lot.
Yeah, haven't you? You've been to Poland, or was that last time?
I think I told, did I tell you about that? Oh, no, maybe I told you that I was going. I have been to Poland.
I think you've been to Gdansk, haven't you?
I've been to Gdansk, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Was it?
It was the best holiday I've ever been on, ever.
Like, what was the best thing you did in Gdansk?
I just
like saying Gdansk.
Gdansk.
It's a good word, isn't it?
I learned a little bit of Polish. Dak. Which means
what
yes.
Mean? any more than that or just
No,
yes.
Just that. And pierogi, which means meat pie, I think. I don't know.
So as long as you want to say yes, meat pie. Would you like something to eat? Yes, meat pie.
Meat pie, sausage roll. Right. Come on, England, give us a goal. And that's all I know. Do you know what? And not speaking, I'm not like that much of a party animal, but the drinking over there was so cheap. We went for 5 days. We stopped in like a boutique Airbnb that had a sauna in it. It was absolutely gorgeous. And then we went out, and across the 5 days, we spent £250 on food and drink and experiences. Like, it was incredible. And all of the bars were like concept bars. So it was like, you'd go there and it'd be fairy tale themed, and then you'd go into a cocktail bar and you'd open the menu and it'd be a pop-up book. And then you'd get served your drink and it'd be like in a cloud of smoke, and someone else would come out singing, and explaining what the cocktail is, and it was just like, oh my god, it was just really good. But yeah, that's it really. But I've gotten excited.
I feel like we might have discussed my hatred of saunas last time.
Yeah, do you know what? I hate saunas as well. I didn't even step foot in it, but like,
good.
Ellis was bloody loving it, bless him. I wasn't. And the radiator in the bathroom, considering it's like a brand new Airbnb building, the radiator was broken in the bathroom, so it was on full blast, 100%. So like, it was like going into a sauna.
That was your sauna,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was on, it was a torture chamber. Like, I couldn't have a morning wee in peace. So I was just like, sweating. But other than that, it was really good. Have you ever been to Poland?
I haven't, no. It's not somewhere I've been. I'd like to.
Yeah, recommend it. Sorry, there's literally someone outside the window listening to music. Sorry, everybody.
I thought you were going to say listening to you.
No, that would be
a live show.
Seats outside.
We're going to do a live show.
What have you been up to? How's little pup?
Mainly walking little pup. She's all right. She's settling in quite well.
Nice.
So we got her thinking she's a collie cross, right? And she looked quite like just a collie, but small when we got her. And then we put her in one of these apps where you upload a photo. And this obviously isn't particularly accurate, but it claims she's 75% Carillion bear dog.
she's tiny, isn't she?
No, they're not tiny. Oh. She's tiny.
No, that's what I mean, yeah.
But these dogs apparently hunt bears in Finland.
Oh, right.
Hunt bears and wolves. So.
What was the other percentage? Chihuahua?
25% collie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we're going to have a bear hunter on our
she's
hands.
She's a dwarf
However,
bear hunter.
Given, at the moment, she's most interested in hunting blackbirds and pigeons. That's what she likes.
Has she got any yet?
No. Of course she
has. I don't know.
Just fly off.
How fast she is. She might be really fast.
Not fast enough to catch a pigeon yet.
Nice.
So yeah, just taking a nice walk, really. That's it. It's half term in it this week, so I had Monday off. Went for a carvery. Can't beat a carvery.
Toby.
Yes.
Nice. Can't go wrong. Too good to go.
And I've got next Monday off as well.
What are you doing there?
A bit of time off. I don't know yet. They've got an inset day, so they're off school as well.
Nice. I've got an exciting weekend next weekend. I'm going to go. It's Ellis's birthday present. We're going to. We're stopping at the Sunborn Hotel in London, which is the UK's only super yacht hotel.
Oh, okay.
So we've got a little room there, and then we're going to go to an immersive Peaky Blinders experience, which is exciting. We're going to dress up. You don't have to dress up, but just extra, so very excited to do that. And then we're going to go to a gourmet wing restaurant because Ellis loves chicken, so
okay.
Very exciting. Very expensive.
You live the life, you two, don't you? How's that New Year's resolution of saving?
Paid out today, it's gone. Yeah, the New Year's resolution of saving is gone. It's out the window. But I'm just not saving as much as I wanted. So I am still saving, just...
You'll live your life, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'll move still out young. When I'm 40. It's all right.
Look, just wait for your parents to die and have that house. You'll be
yes!
Right. That's the plan. Anyway, we've been very much rambling, haven't we? Obviously, last month we had Beth on and we were talking about ChatGPT, and there's obviously been further developments in this space, hasn't there, since the last one? So Google rushed out Bard. Did you see that? Did you follow that news?
It happened when I was on holiday, so no. But I did see a post saying, "What the duck is Bard?" And I did like that.
Oh, there you go. So, you saw our What the Duck post?
I did.
So yeah, Google... I say rushed out Bard. It's obviously not that rushed because this is Google, but Google's share price plummeted because they demoed Bard and asked it a question and it got the answer wrong. Yeah. Not a great advert, was it? And now ChatGPT is integrated into Bing results.
Oh.
So maybe people start... Did you not know that either?
No.
Come on, Liv.
I don't. This podcast's going to go well, isn't it? Because I know nothing.
I feel like it's just going to be me educating you for the next 45 minutes.
Yeah,
so Bing has now got ChatGPT. I think they bought it for a lot of money. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, a lot. And they're integrating ChatGPT like, into the results pages. So that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a reason to start using Bing, given nobody does.
I use Bing, actually. I'm a Bing girl. I don't know why. I just use Microsoft Edge, which is Bing, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just used it ever since I worked here, and everyone absolutely rips into me for it. But I can't move to Chrome now because I haven't got the bookmarks. Anyway.
You're the first young person I've met that uses Bing.
Yeah, surfing the interwebs.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. This episode is going to be a bit of a marketing 101, isn't it? We are obviously specialists in certain areas and not so much in others. So we can't promise we're going to be able to be giving expert insight into everything ChatGPT wants us to talk about, but we can certainly have a go, right? So, we loaded up ChatGPT and we asked it for a digital marketing podcast. As the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast, we're looking for conversation topics surrounding what's currently happening in the world of marketing and the latest marketing news. Could you write some in-depth guidelines on what they should talk about? And it gave us five areas: industry trends, emerging technologies, data and analytics, branding and storytelling, and marketing ethics. So we used that and we said showcase more details surrounding the topics under industry trends, and it wants us to cover point number one, the latest trends and best practices for social media marketing. Now, Liv, if this isn't an area for you to shine, we need to just end the record and pack
it. Day 45, he's coming.
Yeah, that's it.
So the latest trends and best practices for social media marketing. Popular platforms, we've got Meta, formerly known as Facebook, but now we're being told by reps to just call it Meta. So there's no mention of Facebook anymore.
There's no Facebook and Instagram,
no,
it's all just Meta.
Just Meta. It's just a subsidiary. Is that right? That's the wrong word. Subsidiary of Meta. So Meta, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, there was another one, but I can't remember, but they all fall within Meta now, so you just got to call it Meta. TikTok, obviously, that's always growing. That's coming up the ranks, or it is at the top of the ranks anyway. I know that there is a lot of issues with it at the moment with, like, data sharing and people thinking that Chinese overlords are stealing all your data, which they might be, but at the end of the day, it's a good old laugh on TikTok, so they can have it. I ain't got nothing to
hide. They're welcome to mine, yeah.
And something else that I've been looking at recently is Reddit, which is actually up and coming. So because there's so much hype around, like, ChatGPT, GPT, that's right, isn't it? Not GD. GPT. And, like, Bard and any other AI and things like that, people also want that, like, computer-generated element of resource. So they're going back to Reddit, which is gaining more popularity than it has over the last, like, 5-10 years because a lot more people are relying on it, which I think is really interesting. I've always been a Reddit dabbler, not a user, but just sort of, like, going on it every now and then. So I think it's dead interesting that that's coming back up. Creating engaging content, I think it's just a similar story of what it has been. Just you've got to make sure that you're, you know, following best practices, keeping it, you know, keeping it short, keeping it sweet, keeping it relevant, and then just building it from there, using different formats, and, you know, it differs per client, but just making sure that you're tailoring it to each client and their business goals. Next one under this bullet point is measuring success of the campaigns. Different for every single client, so different KPIs. So we always work to full funnel KPIs anyway. So awareness being reach, consideration being traffic, video views or engagements, and then conversions being leads, catalog sales or actual purchases. And I think that'll be the way of the world for a very long time in social, because that's the way it started, that's the way it's going to be. And then the last point of that is the impact of social media on customer service. When it says social media, I'm thinking it means organic for that point instead of paid, because...
Yeah, absolutely. There was a big trend, wasn't there, probably 10 years ago now, for people to go on, particularly Twitter.
Yeah, and just rip.
And just rip people, and therefore brands had to react by having, basically social media...
Whip boxes, community
managers, I suppose, isn't they, that would just respond to people. And so it's had a huge impact in that respect. It's given people a whole other channel in which they can vent their anger. But I've seen a few brands recently that have deliberately moved away from this and have effectively said, you know, we won't respond to customer service queries on Twitter. You've got to send an email, or so they've obviously weighed up, do they want to do this or not? Because the problem with it is it airs your dirty laundry in public, doesn't it?
Exactly. We've worked with a few clients before, specifically on Twitter, and I'm really, really wanting to push. And this was before Mr. Musk took it on and buggered it all up. But I'd say, like, you know, it's going to be a really, really good community engagement program, not for, like, complaints. And they said, oh, well, we can't use it because in the past all we've used it for is complaints. So, like, as soon as you post an ad on there, you're just going to get absolute stick on it because that's what you've used the channel for. And it's a shame, really, because I feel like the platforms that you normally complain on, so like Facebook and Twitter, you do get a lot of stick on there because people... I think from an older generation, they think that it is just where you give jip and that is it, and you just moan and you be a Karen, and that's, you know, what it's made for. But yeah, mental.
Have you seen, as a total aside to marketing, there's a guy on Facebook whose account name is customer service, and he changes his profile picture to various well-known brands, and he goes on their page, like the Tesco page, and basically gives awful customer service.
I actually reckon I might have seen this.
And people fall for it and are like, I can't believe you're doing this. And that's the level of pettiness and trolling that I aspire to in life. I wish I had the time to do that, because I feel like that's right up my street.
Yeah. Definitely. I've seen like the videos of like people putting on like an accent. There's this man and he pretends to be a little boy, And he calls this demolition company. Or he might be a woman pretending to be a little girl. And she goes, please, can you blow up my school? It's not Christmas service, but it's really funny either way. But yeah. Next point, influence marketing. Do you know a lot about influence marketing?
Probably less than the average person.
Okay.
Or the average marketer. But I get subjected to it a little bit, particularly on TikTok. It's becoming really common there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know Instagram was probably the platform where it started, wasn't it? Because that's probably the platform that allowed the average person to build up a huge following, and then you get deals off the back of it, whether it's just giving something free, isn't it? And it's just created a whole generation of people that want to be Instagrammers and TikTokers, isn't it, rather than do a real job. But I do feel that the platforms have got to get the balance right. So I'm seeing on TikTok more and more, and I think the good thing that's coming is it has to be labelled as an ad, doesn't it? Or does it get labelled as a partnership on TikTok? Insta, you have to put hashtag ad on it, don't you?
I think you do have TikTok. To put hashtag ad as well on TikTok.
I think there's also a little label that says partnership. I might be wrong. But we're seeing more and more of them, and I think if the balance goes too far towards it all just being promoted content, it's not what people are really there for, is it? Part of the joy of TikTok is that it's real content, not fake content.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it more and more on there now.
I think the best use of influence marketing, though, is when you make it look like it's UGC, where it's user-generated content, and you don't even know it's an ad. Because there's so many times where I've been watching something, I've liked it, and then I've gone, oh, shit, it's an ad, unliked it, and then oh, get off. Like, I don't want to watch that.
The majority are awful, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what your TikTok algorithm is like, but I get one for Top War. Do you know the mobile game, Top War?
Is it the one with the man from Modern Family on it, and he goes, yeah, to, like, open it? No.
I don't know who the man from Modern Family is, to be honest. Okay. But I get that one all the time. It's like people pretending to play the game, and you're like, come on, this is so fake. Like, you're right, if it's done well, it's really, really good, isn't it? And I think it's a really good way to get your brand in front of the right audience, because ultimately your audience trusts that person. Mm. But it's got to be done well, otherwise it just...
flops.
It just looks awful.
Yeah. At the minute, I'm in, like, an infinite chamoy pickle ad loop. Have you seen them?
I don't know what that... I didn't understand most of those words. What's chamoy pickle?
Chamoy. So chamoy is, like, a mix of spices, I think. And basically, you get a pickle, you get a flavoured pickle, so it's, like, a spicy pickle that's in, like, chilli brine or whatever. And then you hollow it out, you put some, like juice in it, but like sweet juice. Then you stuff tackies in it, the crisps, like spicy tackies. Then
I've
you
never
wrap
had
it.
Tackies either.
No, no, they're like spicy crisps. Spot you budge them in the middle. Then you get like fruit winders, and you wrap this pickle in fruit winders. You dip it in spices, and then you put more juice on it, and then you eat it. I cannot imagine anything worse. Like,
it sounds awful.
Yeah, but I really want to buy one just because I've seen.
But you keep getting ads for that very random food.
But it's 100,000 different people doing it, and like every time they're doing it, I think just the process of them doing it, I really want to just make one. Like, I wouldn't want to eat it. I haven't bought one yet. Like, I haven't stooped that low. But
and what's the actual product they're selling? The spice.
No, they sell like kits, so they sell like
they sell
a pickle,
the whole pickle
everything.
Kit. Okay.
Yeah. Christmas present incoming.
Yeah, there we go. Secret Santa, we know what to get you.
Definitely.
Random pickle kit off TikTok.
One of the points on here, which I found out about a few weeks ago, about finding the right influencers for your brand. Do you know that TikTok has a shop for influencers?
I didn't know.
So you own a brand and you want to do some TikTok marketing, you go onto the TikTok influencer base and then you basically scroll through and it's just like, this is Janine, she's 30, she loves
she talks
dogs
about
and
cleaning.
Vacuums. Exactly. And then you can choose her. I think it's really clever, but it also scares me. I feel like it's a little bit like I don't know. You're just shopping for people and it's a bit weird, but then I'm also like, it's actually really clever to do that.
If you're going to be famous as an influencer, what would you be famous for?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't think I'd do anything that well to become famous. Maybe like fails.
Fails?
Yeah, like...
Just your own personal ones?
Yeah, just like you've been framed, you've been failed. framed, just like running around, falling over. Shit, one. Sorry. What about you?
I think if I had the time and energy, I'd do one of these dog ones that's all over TikTok. Have you seen Good Boy Ollie and have you seen Clarence the Black Lab?
Good Boy Ollie, is he a Labradoodle?
No, he's a chocolate brown lab. Yeah.
Yeah, I have seen it. And he puts things on his nose or he carries them around in a little basket.
He has his special day where he picks a treat out of the jar and he picks a little piece of paper out and spits it out. It's things like feed the ducks and bake. And he's now got a baby brother called Tato.
Yes, I have seen it because he picked his own. Yeah, I have.
Short for potato. Yeah. I love that name. Tato. It's so good.
From that, that's where I got one of my dog names because I was watching the video and a potential name was Spud. And I love the name Spud. That's where I got. So I do know him. Have you seen the dog that communicates via buttons?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mad. How clever.
So
that dog's got better vocabulary than me.
Did I?
On to video marketing and the growing importance of it.
I think
YouTube's been around for years, hasn't it? And YouTube is the video platform. But I think TikTok in particular has just kind of skyrocketed video content. Like, even if you think back 3 years ago, like the stuff people do on Instagram, I don't think Reels existed and it was largely just static image, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
YouTube was YouTube, but it was kind of longer form specific content, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then I think TikTok's come along and just blown it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think as consumers, it's just what people want now, isn't it? If you're looking for a product that you're researching, would you rather read a 500 to 1,000 word article on it or would you rather watch a 2 minute video? I'd probably rather watch a 2 minute video most of the time. So I think it's got to be part of everyone's arsenal now. I think it's got to be in everyone's product mix, is getting video content up there, whether it's on your own site, whether it's on TikTok, whatever. But I think it's got to be. How do you measure the ROI? It's a very difficult question. Cheers, ChatGPT.
What does that mean?
Give us an easy one.
What does it mean in relation to video marketing, or is that a completely different separate?
Yeah, no, it'll mean in relation to video marketing. And it is difficult because your video marketing is going to be top of the funnel stuff. It's going to be your awareness stage, your research stage, isn't it? And I think this is where you've got to get your attribution right. And I think this is the challenge that people are struggling with in digital, because if you go back 10 years when you were still in school, digital, like the selling point was how measurable it was.
Mm-hmm.
And like the
easy to track. Yeah.
It was easy to track. It was totally measurable, particularly PPC. So like the last recession, which is what, 2008, PPC was largely unaffected / had a pretty good time of it, because you'd pull your money out of TV where you didn't know what was happening and put it in PPC where you knew exactly what was happening. And I think there's now a lot of people in senior roles that remember that and want to be able to measure everything for digital.
Yeah.
But it's far more... Like back then, you didn't really do branding on digital, whereas now you can spend hundreds of thousands on branding. And someone traditional might say, what's the ROI on doing that? And it's like, well, it's branding activity, isn't it? It's hard. You've got to look at full funnel. What's the overall picture? So I think we probably do need a bit of a mindset shift.
Yeah, that definitely.
Not everything in digital now has got a hard and fast ROI on it that's completely attributable to it.
Mm.
Because if you think, again, you go back, even if you go back 10 years, smartphones weren't that great, were they?
No, I think I had a HTC Wildfire at that point and I struggled the text, so.
So even back then, yeah, phones weren't that good. People, iPads are out, but they're a bit of a luxury. So, like, device switching was relatively limited. So, yeah, it's far more complicated than it used to be. And I think people have just got to adapt the thinking. And then the last point in this section is personalization, creating targeted campaigns. Again, this is probably one for you to talk through, customer segmentation. How personalized can you get with the activity you do? Because obviously you've got quite a lot of targeting options, haven't you?
Yeah. In social, you can get really, really specific. I mean, you can target interests. So, are you watching Physical 100 or have you watched Physical 100?
I don't even know what that is.
So, side project. It's a Korean game show that's on Netflix.
Oh, did that to hang off a bar?
Yeah.
I've seen a clip of it on TikTok.
Oh, I haven't watched it,
but I've seen them hanging off a bar.
It's really, really good. But, like, using that for an example, so they've got 100 athletes from Korea, and all of them are, like, you've got arm wrestlers, skeleton riders, I don't know what you call them, and then
skeleton riders.
I don't know, skeletons, the people that do the skeleton.
Oh, like the
sledging. Yeah, but I didn't know if the sledge was called a skeleton or the person doing it. I don't know. Anyway,
they're not rode by skeletons. No, they're rode by humans.
No. I know, but like one of them is a luge. So if we're going, this is how niche I'm thinking at the minute, you could target people interested in lugeing, people who like to luge, winter sports, winter Olympics, from an interest targeting point. And that like carries on 100% down the line. Like you could think of a hobby or think of something that would distinguish you from another person. There's most likely going to be an interest for it just from a meta perspective. If I just speak about meta as sort of like the main point, because otherwise we'll go down a wormhole of discussing targeting for each platform. But then you can also become really niche with like tracking data. So if your pixel within meta set up all correctly and your the events are firing both on platform and on site, you could target people who've watched your video or target people who've engaged with an ad or website visitors who've abandoned the basket, so you can like segment it like that. But then you can also do like customize. So if someone wanted to target people with specific emails, they upload that list of emails, we can target them. We could target people who are lookalikes of them and who have similar shopping habits or who like sign up to similar things. And the opportunities are endless, I think. With like PPC, and it's the same for display really, but with PPC I think it's a lot more, it's obviously keywords and stuff like that, and I don't know all the jargon behind it, but you can't go as anywhere near as broad without risking your CPAs or your CPCs, but then you can't go near anywhere as niche, because then that's when you tank your efficiency or whatever it is. So it's mental how specific you need to be with it.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to a first-party data provider at the moment that can give you like really niche audiences that then push into Google Ads. They push into Facebook as well, actually. It's really interesting. So I think personalization is key. And I think when we go back to talking about branding in digital, probably the one big thing it's got over things like TV and radio still is, yes, you can run your branding stuff, but you can be like really quite specific about who sees that, whereas you put a TV ad on ITV, you know, generally, but all sorts of people see it, don't you? Whereas you can run your branding activity across digital and you can be really quite tailored that you want it to be, I don't know, people that are getting married in the next 6 months, for example. You can be, I think it's the key to keeping digital ahead of other channels when it's trying to steal their objectives almost, because digital was always direct response, trackable. Whereas now it's moving into branding, the only way to keep it ahead is personalisation.
Definitely.
So there you go, ChatGPT, see what you think about that. So next we asked it to give us more details surrounding the topic under emerging technologies. First one he wants to talk about is AI-powered marketing tools. And obviously we had a whole podcast about AI last time. I think the reality is AI-powered marketing tools are here to stay.
Yeah.
We've got to embrace them and we've got to learn to use them. Again, if we hark back to the past, when I started in PPC, there was no automation whatsoever, really. You did everything pretty much manually. Then along came Search Ads 360 and you could start automating and people didn't trust the algorithms. I mean, ultimately, an algorithm is AI. It takes the data and it learns. And now virtually all of our clients are using that technology because it works better than humans. So I think it's here to stay. I think the key is learning how to use it. So number one, get the best out of it. Effectively, yeah. Part of what your job becomes is learning how to manipulate the technology. So our guys that work in paid search, part of their skill set is being really, really good on the technology and making the technology give the best results. And I think that's what's going to happen with more of these tools, like ChatGPT for content creation. Obviously, last time we talked about you don't use it to write your content creation, to write your on-site content, but you may use it to give you some ideas, as we've done with this. If we asked it to write an entire script for a podcast, it would sound awful, right? But you can ask it to give us some topics to talk about.
And then we feed off that, yeah.
So I think you can very much use it as a start point. But for me, I think it's definitely here to stay. So we might as well embrace it. Otherwise, you just get left behind.
Next one confuses me massively, like the voice search stuff.
Yeah.
Because at the minute, I feel like it's massive in... like, obviously, searching stuff. So, like, the Alexa and Google Home and all those other, like, gadgets are coming out where you can ask things straight away. But then where does that data go? Like, does that go into, like, the Google most search question? So, like, if you typed in Chris Roberts and then it would go Chris Roberts' age, Chris Roberts is married to, who are Chris Roberts? Or, like, or what does it go into that sort of data? Or does it just go into, like... the back of the matrix and then it never comes out? Like, what happens with it?
It's a good question. I don't actually know. I assume you would imagine it is being used to help fuel that stuff and help fuel the relevancy of results. I mean, it's another one where you talk about branding in digital, because... who's going to go and say, hey, Alexa, book me a holiday to Mexico? Not going to, are you? But you might go, hey, Google, what's the weather like in Cancun in July? So if you want...
to build something else from that.
Google's answering it. I don't know if you can hear that. Yeah. I don't know if the microphone's picking that up, but let's hope it's not. It's still going. But, you know... and it will cite where it's getting that data from. So if you're the person that's providing that data, again, it's not direct response because someone's not going to book it there and then. But if
it's just part of the journey. It tells you where.
Yeah, it's the start of the journey, isn't it? It's more top of funnel stuff. So yeah, I think it's if you want to get a real full funnel strategy, it's got to be in there and optimizing some of your pages to support. I think it takes it from the rich snippets, doesn't it? This isn't my area of expertise at all. I think getting it to, getting your results into those rich snippets could really, really help getting your top of funnel stuff.
Yeah. Next one, even less of a clue, augmented reality. I know that's AR. And I can relate it to the metaverse and how that's up and coming. But in fact, I actually reckon I could run this. I can run this part. So metaverse is up and coming.
But the metaverse is VR, not AR.
Oh, what?
The metaverse is virtual reality. It's not augmented reality.
Oh, Christopher.
So augmented reality is like when And I've seen some decent examples of this. I don't know if it was IKEA or a sofa provider. Like, you can basically hold your phone up and see what the sofa will look like in your house, or you can upload a picture of yourself, I think, or turn your camera on, and it'll, like, a clothes company might show you what the dress looks like on you. So it's overlaying artificial elements on top of real elements. So VR, obviously, you've got your headset on and everything's fake. Not fake, not real.
Yeah.
Whereas AR, you point your camera at the corner of your living room and say, what would that lamp look like there? And the AR app will pop that lamp into the picture. So you'll be like, okay, that's what it looks like. Oh, it looks a bit big, or doesn't quite go. Do you know what I mean? Or what does that sofa look like? Oh, actually, that sofa's massive compared to the space. That's what AR is.
Oh, I'm
surprised. I'm surprised it's not caught on more, because I think there's some really clever uses for it. And maybe I'm just not, like, I haven't got my finger on the pulse of what's going on in AR, but you don't see much of it being used, really.
Saying that, I know Pinterest have introduced something. I mean, I say that, I don't know anything. I know that. I know that they've got, okay, like, a try-on tool, and Amazon, actually, where you can, if it's, I think if it's an ad and they've got the image in the background of the file, then if you hovered over, like you say, a setting, it would show it you in your living room. And that's something they've introduced. And it's the same with Snapchat, like shoe companies. I think that they're now making, if you try on a shoe but you're not really trying it on, they're making it look a lot more real. So, like, they'll put the seams on it in the correct places, or, like, if you move your foot, it'll crease or whatever. So there is stuff going on, but, like, yeah, like, I'm not in the know about it. Just thinking, don't know if this is inappropriate, ethical considerations. Do you reckon that's down, like, deep faking, where it's, like, puts faces on different people? Does that count, do you reckon, as AR?
Not sure. I mean, for me, like, augmented reality is another, it's a really good one for customer engagement. It's probably quite top of the funnel, but it helps with your decision-making process. I don't really know why it's not caught up more, because I think every smartphone's got the capability for it. It's not like VR where you need the headset, do you know what I mean? I can see why that's not catching on, because there's a barrier to entry. You need a £500 headset to do it. But AR, like, anyone can do it on your phone. I don't know why it's not been used more.
Mm.
Maybe the people that are using it aren't seeing a decent return, otherwise everyone would be there, right?
Maybe.
Right, Snapchat. Should we move on to?
Oh, sorry.
No, you got more. You got more. Go on,
maybe a bit more. Maybe just a little pence more. Snapchat. Can you remember when they created glasses?
Yes.
That never caught on, did it?
Same with Google Glasses, and that's going back now, because I remember we got sent a pair to test at Phones for You, so we're going back a good, 9-10 years.
Really?
That's exactly what AR is, but that was just wearable tech, whereas most AR now is on your phone, but obviously the idea of Google Glasses and the Snapchat ones was it's kind of there. But then there's whole other considerations about, are you allowed to drive in them? Is it too distracting? All that sort of stuff. I imagine you wouldn't feel too happy if you got run over by someone because they've got the Google Glasses on watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, one on a long drive.
It depends what they're watching, actually. If it's Need for Speed or what's the other one? What's the F1?
Fast and Furious.
No, the F1. Drive to Survive. If you're watching Drive to Survive, maybe. But if you're watching, like, Cocomelon, I'd be fuming.
I mean, Bluey's good. If we're talking kids Bluey. TV. Have you watched Bluey?
I know, like, airport. I'm not going to the airport. I know that, but I just know, like, quotes.
It's just a good accent.
Thank you.
Should we move on? The next topic was data analytics. How businesses use data to measure their marketing. I mean, we've touched on this already, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's got harder. The whole cookie privacy stuff. It's got harder. I don't think any, like, platforms fully cracked it yet, have they?
No.
Otherwise, that platform would be massive by now.
And the thing is, I feel like
sometimes platforms get close to cracking it and then there's another update or there's something else that comes out that sets them behind like 10 years because they've then got to figure something out, like all the cookie-less stuff. I feel like some, like Google was just about to get their heads around it and then it was like, lol, cookies aren't going to be a thing anymore.
Yeah. But I think, again, this is where you've got to look at it almost like full funnel. What's all your inputs and what's your one output? And we possibly need to lose the hang up a little bit of being able to track and attribute every last conversion to a single to one click and one channel, because it just doesn't happen anymore. And I think it's too, cookies aside, it's difficult enough because if you think about how we search for things, like I'm looking to upgrade my phone at the moment, I'll research on my phone, but I'll probably do it probably on my work computer, to be honest, because it's always set up, obviously outside of work hours,
HR.
But, you know, it's always set up, so it's easier when I want to come and do something like that to just come and jump on the computer. So it's like, there's challenges with that as well, isn't there?
Definitely. Predictive analytics, I think that's even more confusing for me. Like, so it says using analytics to forecast future trends and behaviours, ethical considerations of this. Oh, yeah. I don't think the machines are clever enough. Yeah, like if we can't figure it out, well, not as in like the royal way like me and you, but like if the tech geniuses and the like overlords can't figure out what's going to happen next, like trends, like fashion trends, no one knows what's going to come up next. So how are you going to know that from?
Yeah, I mean, there's two schools of thought on this, isn't there? And again, if you go back to a primitive form of AI, which is the algorithms that technology uses for bidding, for example, There's two trains of thought. One is that the machine can analyse far more pieces of data than a human ever can, because they're machines and we're not. But it can't predict that. I don't know. There might be an alien invasion tomorrow. Therefore, we'll just stop buying things. It can be far more accurate in terms of decision making because it can.
Do you mean like data-driven?
Yeah, analyse far more pieces of data alongside each other than we can.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try. You get it all in Excel and you'd have the world's biggest spreadsheet that you'd probably need a pretty powerful computer to not crash when you try to pivot it up and spot the trends, whereas it can do it like that pretty much in real time. So I think it works until there's extraordinary events. Like predictive analytics couldn't have predicted what was going to happen in COVID and beyond because none of us quite knew.
Yeah.
You know, there was the initial panic where people stopped buying. Then there was the trend towards buying home gym equipment so you couldn't buy a kettlebell in the UK. And then things kind of normalised and now we're going into recession. It's like those sorts of things are hard for analytics tools to factor in, and that's where, again, when we talked earlier about using AI and getting the blend right, this is where you've got to get the blend right. You probably use a machine to do the legwork and then the human intelligence to imply almost a bit of common sense on top of it, and that's kind of what I would suggest is always the best mix. Don't ever use a machine to just totally do something. That's not going to work. Use the blend of machine and human and let the machine do the hard stuff, the legwork, the technical stuff, and then put a human's intelligence on top of that, a human's understanding of the world. Easy for you to say.
A-B testing. Love that.
Yeah.
Something I mean, we talk about.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it? We do a lot of it, don't we, across a lot of channels, whether it's ad copy. I'm sure you do a lot with ad copy and creative and messaging and images, but also with landing pages and looking at what appeals to people. Our whole data-led design process is kind of built around this, show people two different versions of the site and ask them what they prefer, and then put it live. So, yeah.
If you're eye testing, you are doing it right.
There you go. Stick that as the slogan for the podcast. Yeah, exactly. There's.
I don't know why I did it in an accent.
In a thick yam-yam
accent.
Disgusting,
yeah.
Disgusting.
Data privacy.
Data privacy.
Oh, did you say privacy?
Yeah.
I said privacy.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know who's right and wrong.
No, neither. Neither are.
Neither. I mean, I feel like on this there was a lot of distrust, but I feel like people have, on the whole, lost interest. Like, every website I go on now, I just press accept all cookies because I just can't be bothered.
if you don't accept them, nothing happens. I used to think if you declined them, you just get kicked off the site, but that doesn't happen.
No, it just doesn't let the site store your data, does it? But, you know, there's benefits to it. Like, if you don't accept cookies and stuff, you might not get... You know, when you put something in your basket and then walk away...
You get the
voucher coming along saying £10 off if you check out. Yeah. So things like that. So, you know, there are benefits to it. And I think if you work in the field, I think you kind of realise that actually... people having your data, so long as it's not abused, you get served better ads. Like, there's nothing worse than getting served a load of ads that are totally irrelevant to you, is it? But actually, I think the use of data is, like, I fairly recently have bought things off TikTok ads, off Instagram ads. Yeah, because they're actually relevant to me now.
Oh, right.
Whereas they just used to be total random.
What are you buying?
So I think the last thing I bought was an hoodie as a Christmas present for my wife.
Nice. It came,
but off an Instagram ad. So I think actually serving people ads for things they want is good. And if that's what data is being used for, you just don't want it being sold and getting pestered all the time, do you? That's the problem. Again, it's balance, isn't it? If your data is being used to provide you a better experience, great. If your data is being used so you get 300 emails a day, it's not good, is it?
No, I agree. What's the next one? Branding and storytelling.
Branding and storytelling. We should have got Steph on. This is a special subject, isn't it? Content is king. She loves talking about storytelling. Brand position, how brands differentiate, create unique identities and meet target audiences.
I think we've covered it throughout every other box, but how branding and how important branding is in this day and age.
It absolutely is, isn't it? Because nothing stays unique anymore. Even if you've got a unique product, someone will copy it within a few months. So if you've not got a brand behind it, people will just switch to whatever's cheapest. And I think digital allows you to build a brand far better than it used to. Like, again, back in the days where, I sound really old, but PPC and SEO were the main channels. It was pretty hard to do branding stuff through those channels because unless people search for something...
It wouldn't tell you,
It wouldn't tell you about it anyway, whereas now you can use things like Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Snapchat, Pinterest to get your brand out there and get people seeing you. It helps you differentiate. It helps you charge a slightly higher price point. Sometimes it helps you people understand that actually what they're buying is quality and not a cheap knockoff, all that sort of stuff. Mm.
Today, actually, good example of good branding was in Superdrug with Victoria Michalska. And have you seen Starface? They're like a skincare brand.
No.
They're like, it's yellow packaging and all that's on the packaging is a little smiley face with starry eyes. And it's the, like, blemish patches. So, like, if you've got a spot, you put one of these on and apparently it's meant to make it go away. But looking at it, it just looks so... Oh, my God. This makes me sound like it looks so millennial. It's crazy. Like, it's got no words on it. All it is starry face and then that's it. And Vic was like, well, that doesn't look very good, does it? I was like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And then I bought something completely the opposite, which, like, looks like a granny would buy for your spots. It's like... just, it's a chemical is the brand name. And I was just like, yeah, like, I'll go for that. But like...
Because it sounds scientific.
Yeah, literally. But I think it's normally I'd go for the one that looks cool. If it was anything else, if it was like shampoo, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll try that. But like, because it's, I don't know, skincare and it's like materialistic, I wanted to go with something scientific. I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting... I probably haven't explained it very well, but it was an interesting thought. But yeah. Brand voice.
Brand voice.
I think both written and spoken. Steph Keelan is going to love this, but content is king. Having the same tone of voice across things, having, you know, an aligned goal of how you want your business to come across is the most important thing. And like it says, maintaining it across the channels. And obviously there is a challenge to that, but it's a different way to figure it out and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, tone of voice ties into, as ChatGPT's prompt is, massively ties into brand personality, doesn't it? And it's got to be consistent. Imagine if you engage with a brand on TikTok and it sounded totally different to them when you search for it on Google.
Mm.
You'd think it was someone impersonating them, wouldn't you? You wouldn't think it was the same brand. So it's absolutely got to be consistent. Brand storytelling next, using stories to connect and create emotional connection. I'll leave that one to you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. So kind. I am the most emotional person in the world. And I think if something else matches that emotion, I just connect to it straight away. So, like, Paul O'Grady, I love him because he's an emotional man. And he says things in an emotional way. You relate to it. You get on the same line as it. And then that's it. I love him. He's a lovely man. But, like, it's the same with branding. If they hit a soft spot, which is an emotional subject for you, or it fits into what you're looking for, if it, you know, any of the above, like, it fits into you, I think you're more than likely going to buy it or engage with the brand or remember the brand. And I think that's what's so important about, like you said, about the tone of voice, because it needs to be different per industry and it needs to be different per brand. Like, if you've got competitors that are wording things in a certain way, don't, because if you get confused with them in the firing line, like, they're probably going to go with the one that they saw first. But it's definitely, I think the storytelling element and how they put themselves across in ads or on the website or just in general is probably the most important part of branding, because I think that's where you get, like, real connections with customers or potential customers.
Definitely. Right, should we move on to the last topic, given we're running out of time?
Yeah.
We'll rattle through marketing and ethics, shall we? Number one, transparency in advertising. I think this has got loads better lately.
Yeah.
Because, like I say, you used to go on social media and you'd just be like, oh, why is this person suddenly promoting something? And it'd later come out that they're being paid to do so. So I think in terms of transparency, it's loads better. Like, social media, things have to be labelled as ads, don't they?
Like,
you go on Google, it's very, very clear what's an ad and what's not an ad.
Yeah.
The only one where there's still a bit of a grey area is, like, what they call advertorials. Have you seen those?
No. It's basically
like... It's like a paid-for editorial piece that goes on an online publication that is basically an advert.
And you scroll down, you start reading it. Yeah, no, I have.
They're still a bit dodgy. They're kind of frowned upon, but people still do it. That's probably what I can think of as the last, like, properly bad practice that still exists. Mm-hmm. I actually think there's decent transparency on what is an ad and what is not an ad.
Definitely. And it's become a practice as well now, you know, on most platforms, that, like, with you declaring it's an ad, you also have to declare sometimes what type of ad it is. Mm. So, like, on Meta, it's special ad categories. So if it's a political ad, you've got to declare it. If it's a financial ad, then you've got to declare it. And it's, there's so many different, I think there's 4 or 5 categories that you've got to declare. And if it fits into one of them, you have to completely change the way you market. You can't, like if it's a political one, I couldn't say voted for Donald Trump because it's too specific. Like I'd have to broaden it out or I'd have to be like website visitors. But I think that in a way is obviously the best thing to do because it means that you're not like getting an agenda behind things and being part of that agenda. Social responsibility. So how can businesses promote positive social change and ethical practices, issues with greenwashing and similar things?
Yeah, I mean, we had Jordan on, didn't we, and talked about rainbow washing and I don't know when Pride is, but I feel like it's not that far off, a few more months. And you'll see all the brands change the Twitter logos to the rainbows, and then you dig into it and you find the support people that are anti-gay marriage and stuff like that. I think in this day and age, you've got to pick a position and go all in. Yeah. Like if you're going to come out and support Pride, don't then
just do it for the month and then forget about it.
Don't just do it for the month and don't support politicians that are anti-gay. Do you know what I mean? It's all going to come out. So I don't think you can half-ass these things anymore. I don't think people fall for it.
Yeah.
So I think you either do nothing or you go in year-round.
I think that really it ties in the point. There's another point on the ChatGPT agenda, which is the importance of inclusivity and diversity, and that's just that as well, whether it's like cultural appropriation or anything like that. I think it's just important to have the same messaging and idea. What is it? Ideals. Yeah, ideals throughout the whole year, and you can't just switch it out
each month. I think it's probably like, I think inclusivity and diversity is probably a harder one for us to understand as straight, white, blonde-haired
people.
Like, we see ourselves in ads all the time, but I saw this thing, I can't remember if it's on Twitter, it got shared all over, and it was this little girl with an afro, and there's some Disney film and the main character is dark-skinned with an afro, and she stood in front of the telly like this big smile because she's never seen someone like her on a Disney film before.
Little Mermaid, I think, isn't it? Maybe Moana.
I don't know. I can't remember what film it was. It wasn't Moana.
Was it Little Mermaid? Oh, I'm sure it might have been the trailer for The Little Mermaid because I think I can remember seeing it and her going, oh.
I don't know, but she stood in front of the telly and you think, it must be weird, mustn't it, never seen people that look like you.
Little Mermaid,
Regan says. It must be weird not seeing people like you. So I do think it's important, but I also think, don't go crazy with it. Like, you see some ads now and it's like someone's in a wheelchair. There's do you know what I mean? It's like, come on. Don't take it too far.
Yeah, definitely. Intellectual property. I feel like that was cleared a very long time ago, that, like, if you can only run stuff if you have the rights to it. So, like, music, it has to be, like, cleared music if it's on TikTok, YouTube, anything like that. And if it's not, it gets deleted or the music gets removed or your video gets banned or something like that. And I think that was probably one of the first things that had to be sorted when social media and everything else, digital marketing, started rolling out a lot further, just because obviously you've got it and you've got to cover your own back from, like, all the legal stuff.
Now, I'm going to make an argument against this that you might find slightly strange. And it's kind of oddly specific, but there's quite a few accounts. So rugby is a sport I follow, and undoubtedly it needs to grow its following. And you've got these accounts, and they will, like, use images. So, for example, Duan van der Merwe scored this amazing try for Scotland against England, and loads of accounts posted it, and they got loads of engagement, like hundreds of thousands of views. And then 24 hours later, it was taken down due to copyright infringement. And I get it, but at the same token, it's like, well, if you want to grow the game, you've got someone that's posted that and got you 300,000 views of people that might not have seen that, and next time might think, oh, watch a game. So it's kind of like,
I get
why they're doing it, but sometimes it might be counterproductive, because actually, if you want to grow an audience, just let people use your use your material.
So that's what it was. It was someone posted the ad and then someone took that ad, or someone posted a post, someone took
Not, it's not an ad as such. Someone clipped up this try, posted it on their social media. It's like a rugby fan account, basically. Posted it on social media, on Twitter, something like, this is the best try you'll see in the Six Nations, something like that.
Mm.
300,000 views. And then he tweeted his own tweet, which then said, this media has been disabled by the copyright owner. He's like, how do you expect to grow the game when you won't let people share the content from it? So I get why they've done it. People pay for broadcasting rights and want exclusivity, but at the same token, if you want to grow something, you've probably got to let people see it, right? Rather than sticking it behind paywalls or massively limiting its distribution.
Yeah, definitely.
Last topic, social media ethics. Not contributing to the spread of harmful / false information. I mean, I think this is massive, isn't it? And I don't envy the people that
run these
platforms that have to try and police this, but it's murder. Like, you see stuff, and people can post anything now, can't they?
Mm.
People could post a picture of you on Twitter and say, this girl drop-kicked my baby last night. Do you know what I mean?
They could just
make something up, and then before you know it, thousands of people have seen it, and it's just lies. I think it's a really, really important thing, but it's almost, I feel like it's almost impossible to regulate, because how do you? Because anyone can post anything. How would that be fact-checked?
Mm.
I feel like it's a really dangerous side of social media.
Definitely. I know with Twitter and with COVID, there was anything that mentioned COVID-19, coronavirus, there was that little warning that came under it saying, like, you know, this might be harmful or false information. Yeah. But that's only because it was a bigger issue that everyone was talking about. So like you said, it could, you know, if it's just town gossip that's being passed around, there's no regulation against that unless it's reported by X amount of people. So like...
Yeah.
I think there's still a long way to go with it, but then again, it's what fits into the criteria of it goes against the ethical regulations of this platform or whatever. So it's a strange one, that one is. A really, really strange one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there you go. We've rattled through marketing according to ChatGPT. We've even used ChatGPT to replace your section, Liv, and we've asked it to create two random fun questions for the podcast host to answer. Number one, if you could only eat one type of food for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Do you reckon that's just one food, or do you reckon that's like a meal?
I think it's one food. One type of food.
Potatoes, every day of the week.
Potatoes?
There's so many things you can do with potatoes.
Yeah. You're going to get pretty bored of chips, mashed potato and roast potatoes.
Trust me, Chris, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. What about you?
I'm going pizza.
Mm.
I feel like you can mix it with the toppings, can't you?
But I thought it was like an ingredient, like a singular, like apples. Maybe it wasn't. Oh, well, I've buggered myself with chips and mash for saying you've got bloody pizza. But yeah, okay, cool.
Or roast dinners.
Yeah, no, roast dinners, that's what I was thinking.
I'm going to roast dinner.
Roast dinner.
Because you can change your meat then, can't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can have a nut roast if you wanted to... Want to be veggie for the day? Yeah, roasting us.
And second question, what was the most interesting or unusual hobby you've ever had, and how did you get into it?
Oh, I'm such a little hobby merchant. Like, I'd go for them, like, days of the week.
And me. I have right fads.
Yeah.
I've got equipment for everything in this house.
Ditto. Ditto. But the thing is, like, I'm actually just... Like, Ellie said to me the other day, he was like, bless you really do try everything. And I was like, yeah, you're just not good at anything. I was like, no.
You're just like a failure at everything.
Yeah, like, badminton, I love badminton. I love playing it. I'm not, like, the best at it, but I can play it. You know what I used to be good at? Javelin. I used to be good at javelin.
Okay.
What
are you picking as your most unusual hobby, though?
Probably speaking Spanish at the minute. I know that's not unusual by any means. Okay. It's just funny for me. Like, yeah. Probably won't stick to it, but I'm on day 13 at the moment, so it's going well. Good. Your comma one's anas, if anyone's Spanish and wants to know what I eat. Apples.
Apples, very good.
What about you?
I think the most unusual one, again, I've had lots of random hobbies, but at university I joined the Korfball Club.
Ew.
And did that for a term.
Korfball?
It's like this game from maybe like Sweden or somewhere in Scandinavia. I might be getting that totally wrong. It's like, it's a bit like netball.
Yeah.
But it's mixed. Basically, I joined it because some attractive girls played it.
And then, got
you. and then kind of lost interest after a little bit.
When you realise they all had boyfriends, yeah, lost interest.
When they weren't remotely interested in me, I was like, this sport's rubbish anyway. It's basically netball, but the nets have been, kind of.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Nice.
I played corfball for 3 months.
Love it.
I competed in a tournament. So there
you
go. I was probably like one of the top 50 people in the UK because so few people played
51 people played it.
Yeah, exactly. 49 people played it and I was the 50th best, yeah. Right, so we also asked ChatGPT, please provide an outro for the Assorted Digital Rumblings podcast. So here we go. It's longer than normal. Get ready. Thank you for tuning into the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussions on the latest marketing news, emerging technologies, industry trends, and marketing ethics. Our goal is to provide you with insights and perspective that can help you stay up to date with the ever-changing landscape of digital marketing. As always, we welcome your feedback and suggestions for future episodes. If you have any ideas for topics you'd like us to cover or guests you'd like us to feature, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to our podcast and leaving a review. This helps us reach a wider audience and continue to provide valuable content. Until next time, keep on rambling about all things digital marketing.
Woo!
There we go. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.